Or by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and with your co-host, Boris. And we were just having a few technicalities, but we're back on. We're live. Obviously, from Miami on 880 The Biz and through our app or our website, GodIsTheCure.com. Please join us on Facebook as we are presently live streaming and we can answer your questions from there. We created this show as a safe space and to show that there is hope after going through difficulties, despite any suffering, no matter what type. As I have come to find out that no one is exempt from suffering at one point or another in their life or could still be suffering. And it's okay. We have each other. I'm also trying to use testimonies that could be helpful. And I'm inviting professionals and inspirational speakers that can give productive suggestions. As a survivor, I hope to inspire others, encourage transparency, and find strength in knowing that those who suffer are not alone, and that those that heal against insurmountable odds do exist. Today, we will talk about empowering women, discovering one's true self, seeking hope, and fulfilling a purpose. And our special guest today is Tina Yeager. Tina Yeager is an award-winning author of Beautiful Warrior, an inspirational speaker, life's coach, licensed therapist, and host of the Flourish Mint podcast. Tina, thank you for being with us. You're on The Cure.
Thank you, Amy. I'm so honored to be with you today.
Hi, Tina. I'm here with Boris.
Hi. It's good to see you again.
Or hear you. But yes, we saw each other at the CPE.
And it's wonderful to have And it is really wonderful to have you again because it was wonderful meeting you at the CPE, and it was great getting to know you then. And so today we want to discuss things that I found that you had said were very important. For example, Tina, if we can discuss some of the common lies that women and others believe of women.
Women often believe they're not good enough, or that they have to compare themselves to others, or they believe the lies of shame that the enemy of our souls tries to press upon us and make part of our sense of identity, that we are less than, or that we are our past, or we are what has happened to us, and we're limited by who we can be based on those kinds of things from our past, even from our present, that we have no potential beyond what we can see right in front of us.
And how can we identify a lie? How do we know it's not our problem, something that's broken in us? Or how can we recognize it so that we know it's a lie and we don't continue believing it?
It's hard to recognize a lie because a lot of times lies will start with a teeny little bit of truth and they'll be tainted by something that just distorts it so much that it becomes a lie. So, for example, if you have something that is a hyperbole, like an always or a never, I always make mistakes, I never do anything right. If you are able to keep that kind of consistency in your life, you should win an award in the Guinness Book of Records because nobody's that consistent. So if you see those kind of words in your talk about yourself inside your head, you can automatically identify that must be a lie. Another thing that tells us that something is a lie is that it is not forward moving. All things about our identity that are true should be forward moving. Even if we've made a mistake, that doesn't mean we're stuck in it. So anything that makes us feel stuck or frozen or paralyzed, that is usually some kind of indicator. It's a hint that it's a lie. And a lie will also try to distract us from God's truth and from our true purpose and our true positive sense of self that's centered in faith and truth and spiritual potential, that will be something that tells us that we should be looking at the world standards, at our approval from human beings, at our performance, at the roles or relationships we're in as the center of our identity. So it's distracting us. Don't look at what God says. Look over here instead. So anything that's distracting us to set up some other kind of standard of worth or some other kind of measure of our identity, that is another key that it's a lie. So those are some of the things that we can recognize as components of a lie. A lie is very much based on illusion. It's like a magician. A magician will teach you to be emotional about your response to something, not factual. So if it's getting you to think very negatively or very angrily, or it's rooted in resentment or bitterness toward yourself or others, it isn't fully the truth, because there's more to truth than our feelings.
And why is it that we are more likely to believe the lie than the truth?
Oh, that's a really great question, Amy. We are set up to believe the things that are closest to us. And because we're steeped in this world where so many things around us, in social media, in the contemporary media of other forms around us, on television and movies and media, to focus on the standards that this world puts in front of us, focusing our identity on all of these other things. And because we have people that will, out of their brokenness, mistreat us or say ugly things to us, that's right in front of us all the time. We're going to believe the things that we see and hear the most. So it really takes up to 10 times the amount of positive influences and positive messages to counteract a negative message. So if we are surrounding ourselves with negative messages or things that shame us or things that aren't true or slightly distorted about the truth, which becomes a lie, then those are going to be the things that we believe, because we're surrounded by it and we're exposed to it more than we're exposed to the truth.
And I've heard that if you believe it, your children will believe it, like they feel it.
That is so true, and it's more motivating for us as moms to want to be our best if we're thinking about our children. So that's a really great place to start, to think, you know, how can I be more a model of believing positive truths that God says about me instead of all of these lies, so that I can help my children think about themselves in positive terms too.
And so here's a biggie. What causes women to develop a distorted self-image, or what could be an obstacle to healthy esteem?
There are so many obstacles against us in this world. A lot of women come from, like you have, histories where they've been just beaten down, and they've had really, really negative messages spoken over them and against them. And so that history of abuse is going to be something that, if that's all that you know and that's all you hear, then obviously that's going to make a big impact on how you see yourself. And it becomes a barrier to trying to get over that. It doesn't mean God can't help you get over that. As your life story has shown, you can overcome those lies, even if they're really, really strong and there's pervasive lies torn against you. This is something that you and God together can overcome. And even those of us who have not been through horrific stories of abuse, we're still going to hear those lies perpetuated against us from our culture, because our culture is set up to make us believe that we need to be something different. We need to buy this product or become more like this person or do something different in order to be good enough. And the standard is always set beyond something you can ever achieve. It's drinking salt water, constantly going after that human approval, which never satisfies us, constantly going after that sense of performance, which never really satisfies us, or success, which never really is ever good enough. There's always a little bit more that we'll need to achieve in order to feel fulfilled. So all of those things are set against us. Those are barriers to us finding true fulfillment in the living water of Christ, that is our only true source of real self-esteem.
I found that to be the only way, because when I was being convinced, see, I believe that evil convinces you of bad things. And I went through a time that was very dark, and nothing. There's no way I'd even want to make myself feel better, to want to think positive, to want to change the language. The only thing was God. Once I realized that I really wasn't broken, that somebody's putting the temptation in my mind, I'm believing it and I'm feeding it. Once I realized there's somebody bigger than me that can actually fight that, even if I didn't feel I was enough, that's what worked for me.
That's awesome. You have such an amazing testimony, and I love that you have used that to reach out to other people to help them realize that no matter how much the darkness comes against you, God can help you triumph over that darkness and find the truth of your worth in Him.
And we do. And we do live in a world where, I see it. I work in our medical field that we do work with medical research, but we also have a department that works with mental health. And I see it a lot. I see a lot of women that are depressed. And I try to tell them, I was a guinea pig. I tried everything under the sun. Now what I do is I bring everyone that can come on here, and people have all kinds of ideas, and people have tried many different ways, and there is many things we can do besides music and meditation and everything, but there's one common thing, is that you have to put God first in your life. And if you put God first in your life, everything falls into order.
And that is so true.
Not only that, I mean, so many things have changed, and it's been incredible. It's been in my life. Let's say I did not like. Well, let's say I see things better now. For example, how about allowing, believing the limitations that others put on you? Or believing, oh, because I have this condition, this is what I am. Believing right. in the limitations that society puts on you. But I see things better now. I used to let, for example, I was diagnosed ADD. It used to frustrate me. I felt absent-minded. But now I'm glad I get double the exercise when I have to return for something that I forgot.
And really, I mean, God uses all of us. That is not a limitation. It's just a different way of being wired. And it doesn't limit God.
I used to feel sad, believing I was destined to suffer. Now I find suffering is necessary for growth. I thought I preferred the easier way. But now I don't copy and paste. I retype the word to practice my typing. I actually choose the harder route. I used to feel overwhelmed by house chores. Now I appreciate that it's exercise and combine it with music, which is quite therapeutic for me. And rainy days used to bring me down, and now I look at it as an awesome opportunity to tend to the house and watch a family movie.
Oh, I love that. And it's all about our mindset being centered on Christ.
And this is just some of the examples of how my life has changed that I'm happy about. I wasn't disciplined enough to meditate in the morning, which I know I should. So I combined it with prayer, and I killed two birds with one stone. And the things I'm not so happy to do becomes happy anyway, because I have learned to do everything for the glory of God.
Amen. That is awesome. But I know that anytime we try to start a new habit, it's always good to combine it with a habit that we already have, and that can help you do a hard thing by doing something that's already easy.
But it's, you know, life continues as it was. It's just you view things in a different way, and your whole life changes, and it's not a happiness that you get all of a sudden. It's a happiness that grows over time.
Right. But it's a joy that's centered in something that doesn't go away, rather than just a situational happiness that's based in our circumstances.
Exactly. For those that are tuning in, I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. Today's show is focusing on empowering women and discovering one's true self. We are joined by Tina Yeager, author of Beautiful Warrior. This is The Cure, live Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back to The Cure. For those tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo. And today we're joined by Tina Yeager, and we're talking about empowering women. Tina, how might women hide behind masks?
Often when people ask you, how are you, our first response is, I'm fine, but we're not really fine. Most women are experiencing some kind of struggle at various times in our lives. There's a huge percentage of women who are suffering from depression or anxiety. You know you're around safe people, being honest enough to reach out and tell them, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray for me? Do you have anything that you can tell me that would be helpful or supportive? Or really asking in such a way that you invite people to tell the truth. Instead, we're showing each other our best faces, especially on social media, like on Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook and all of our social media.
Yeah, we're on Facebook too. By the way, let me ask you, what is the difference between men and women then? Because, you know, I do almost the same.
I think men do it too. I think men will show their best selves. I'm just simply speaking to women because I'm a woman.
Oh, I hear you.
I agree. Men will try to show their very best online. I think women are even more tempted to do that because they seek women's approval a lot.
That's next book. Let's do the next
book together. Why do you suppose we do that? Why do we wear a mask and put on our best face forward?
I think we're just trying to find human approval in the space that should be looking for God's approval. And I think a lot of times people who feel they're not in safe spaces, they can't trust other people with the truth of who they are and what they're going through. And there are times when you shouldn't be oversharing or being over transparent because the people around you may or may not be safe. But there should be safe spaces in church, and you should be able to be transparent enough online that you're not just whining about your life, but you're being honest that you are a real person who struggles with real things so that we can connect in real ways with one another online and in person.
Wow, that's so important. You're so right.
And how can we learn to be more careful, maybe more delicate, if somebody's a really good actor or actress and we have no clue they're really upset? Is there any, what kind of indications can we pick up if they're not so good at showing it?
Well, sometimes you can't. Sometimes people, like you said, are really good at faking it. But I think if we're really asking in a way that isn't, how are you doing? And it's quick and it's brief, and by our body language, we're still closed off to them. If you lean in and you slow down the way you ask those questions, how are you doing? Is there some way that I can be praying for you right now? If you ask in ways that invite that person to respond from a genuine place, they're more likely to do so. And show over and over again that you're a safe person. Sometimes it takes you being honest with that person first. So, you know,
yes.
I've been a mother of small children, too. I know sometimes it can be hard.
Yes.
Can I be praying for you?
Nice. I don't know of anybody who would reject somebody praying for them. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Unless you're very
angry. I think
people
are hungry for it. They're dying to be listened to and heard.
Sometimes they feel like they don't know how to pray, or maybe God doesn't hear them, and sometimes it helps if somebody prays for them. You never know.
Yeah, people think you have to have a lot of fancy words to pray to God, but really God is just all about listening to us having a conversation with him. And not everybody understands that. God is just, hey, God, I need you. And that's a prayer. That's a real prayer. It's a deep prayer from a real place.
Hey, God could be everything. God could be your best friend. God could be who you talk to about everything. God could be every message in every song, every message behind every inspirational speaker. And my little Shih Tzu, when she's completely asleep on top of me, and she's so great. I mean, God can be in everything that's great.
Yeah. I've been in places where I've been in the grocery store, and I just asked somebody who's working in the grocery store, how are you doing? And I really meant it. And they would proceed to tell me they were just dying to be heard. And if we would, as Christians, wow, reach out more often and listen with a real caring heart and allow God to be that person between you and the other person, to be the ears for you, to be the eyes for you to see, and to help you have the words to pray and listen over other people, then we can, in our genuineness, really connect and become the hands and feet of Christ for one another.
Nice. I really love that. Another thing that I love that you made a statement about that's beautiful, you said, collaboration strengthens us far more than competition. But hey, I thought competition was healthy. Mm-hmm. We can be strong.
Well, it can be, I guess. But I think if we look at it the wrong way, like we have to be comparing ourselves to other people.
Right.
And that's our identity and that's our worth. Then that becomes an unhealthy way of looking at competition.
Well, you say we can be stronger if we work together. Otherwise, we're weaker, right?
Yes, because if you push away the people that you're meant to work with by trying to put them down in that process of competition, if you start to become one of those backstabbing, corporate ladder-climbing kind of people, then we are pushing out the very people that could be complementing our gifts with different gifts, and we could grow stronger by putting those gifts that are different together instead of comparing ourselves to one another and competing against each other and pushing each other out of the way.
Because don't we hinder our abilities when we're trying to always compare ourselves with others? We don't discover what gifts we have that are unique to ourselves.
Yes, that's so true. Because if you think you're going to have somebody else's gift and it isn't your gift, you're going to constantly be putting your energy toward trying to be something you're not and never really fulfilling who you're meant to be.
Yeah, and I know that you also you're also a life coach, and you incorporate probably in everything that you do, you use empowerment by using the scripture.
Yes, if people are open to it, using scripture and faith is such a strengthening, healing thing. Looking at the scripture through eyes of encouragement and hope and love and seeing that that was really God's intention for us to be in relationship with him and to be in healthy relationship with one another. It's what everything's all about in the whole of scripture, how much he loves us. It's truly the greatest love story ever written.
And for those of us who are not very familiar with the scripture, where do we start? You know, maybe like a nice inspirational part. The Old Testament, I heard, was a little bit rough. I think I like the New Testament better. Do you have any suggestions?
I think all of scripture is a love story, but there are some better places to start if you're not familiar with it. I love some of the Psalms because if you're in a hard place, you can kind of pray through those and you can recognize some beautiful things about your identity. Like in Psalm 130, it says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It talks about how God knew you before you were even born. And then if we start reading in the Gospels, then we can see God bringing himself to us in human form, just humbling himself and being born into a feeding trough to come down and lay down his life for us. And that's how much he loves us. That's a really great place to start. But it's really good if you start reading the Bible in conjunction with other Christians who can help you understand it through a Bible study group, because you may learn more that way than by reading it on your own.
And if you don't have a Bible, there's Bible apps I discovered.
Yes.
But you also say something very beautiful. You say, pick up your shield, the word of God, your identity in Christ, and healthy thought patterns, and become the divine heroine you were destined to be. That's beautiful.
Yes, I think all women are heroes in God's eyes because we can carry his light. He's made women as life-giving, and we can carry that light against the darkness of evil into this world. And whether you have children or not, we are still created as nurturers of life. We're encouragers. We stand for the truth. We are warriors against the darkness in this world. And whether you realize your potential in that or not yet, recognize it's not just about what you can be or do on your own. It's what God and his infinite potential can come alongside you and empower you and equip you to do with his help.
And most importantly, because thank God there is a God, also realize there's also the enemy. And sometimes the closer you try to get to God, the more upset he gets. So it doesn't mean that you will not be challenged. It doesn't mean that there will not be trials. It just means you handle it so much better. You see it so much better. It's really only the way to go.
For those that are tuning in, Scripture doesn't promise a worry-free, trouble-free life, does it?
Yes. Now we're going into break. For those that are tuning in, I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure, live every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern on your radio, godisthecure.com, or on Facebook, look for God is the Cure. On our app, The Cure, all shows shortly become a podcast afterwards. After this song, we'll continue talking to Tina Yeager.
Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com. And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
All right. Good afternoon and welcome back to The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo. We're live every Friday at 2 p.m. on your radio. We're also live streaming on Facebook if you look for God is The Cure. We are joined today by Tina Yeager, and we're talking about empowering women, finding hope and purpose through our inner strength. Which comes to this question, Tina, how do we unlock the secrets of our mental strength?
Well, we need help to do that. It's not something that we can do on our own. And as you said, it's about finding that power and strength in our faith in Christ. So God helps us unlock those secrets through his word, through prayer, through the presence of his Holy Spirit. He can renew us, and he can help us to become more than we would ever be on our own strength.
Nice. And what kind of habits and attitudes can be negative for us, and what should we replace it with to start?
Women and men both often get into a habit of talking down to ourselves. If you make a mistake saying, oh, I'm so stupid.
And the kids hear it. The kids hear it. You don't know. They're standing right behind you like a little shadow. You have no clue.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And you speak to yourself in the worst way. Like you would never speak to your child that way or your best friend that way. So if we can start to treat ourselves like we would treat a best friend, after all, you're going to be living with you for the rest of your life. You might as well be good friends, right?
Yeah.
Right. Because when you say, oh, I'm so stupid, that's the hype. Don't believe it. Okay. Just say, oh, that wasn't very smart. Next time I'm going to do it better.
It's very surprising. Yeah. Amy says that too. But not in her book.
So funny. I think we all get into that habit. And once it becomes a habit, it's hard to stop unless you start recognizing it and replacing it with, like you said, growth mindset. Oh, that was not the best idea. Let me try to do that again. Or learning to laugh with yourself when you've made a mistake and say, oh, well, that'll be a funny story at my next speaking event. I'm going to have to tell that to my kids. We'll all have a good laugh. And being able to have a good sense of humor with and about yourself is an important way to be your best friend.
Yeah, no, because Amy exactly says exactly the same thing. When I say, oh, that was so stupid of me, she said, don't talk to you like that. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah. You know, it is, for some reason, we like to believe the lie more than the truth. It's very tempting. I don't know why. I think it was done on purpose so we can practice strength and faith. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't fall for it so easily, right? That's what I'm thinking.
Right. And there's like a scripture passage in the Bible that often is referred to as the love chapter. It's 1 Corinthians 13, and people read it at weddings a lot, but I think we can use it when we're talking about how much we should love ourselves. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs, and reminding ourselves to be patient with ourselves, to be kind to ourselves, not to keep a record of all the things that we've done wrong, and to go through that whole passage and to treat ourselves with that kind of love that we would treat our spouse or our children or our best friends with.
imagine if we're all children of God, then we're all like princes and princess. And because God is the king. So imagine if you were a princess or a prince, wouldn't you be treating yourself excellent because you belong to a king?
I would hope so. Although we have some princes and princesses and people in high places that are just as much suffering as anybody else. They're just doing it in secret too. So we need to learn to recognize that as daughters, as brothers and sisters who are our princes and princes in this kingdom of God, that he loves us. And the way that he sees us is what's most important, not the way that other people see us, not the way the world's standards view us, but the way God sees us according to what he can do, what he's going to do, and what is his eternal future for us in heaven where we will be made perfect.
And wouldn't he be a God of justice that for every bad, negative thought you get into your mind, you are capable of listening to a thought that counteracts that, that's positive, right?
Yes, there's so much
positive
stuff.
So it's a choice that we make. Which one do we want to believe, right?
Right, right. And if you know the common ones that you believe, if you'll write those out and then write next to them something that's true, I'm so ugly. Instead, right next to that, that Psalm 139 passage that says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and write that out as your truth beside it. So every time you want to say to yourself, I'm so ugly, no, remind yourself, instead, I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
And these kind of things are described in the scriptures. I mean, I have to admit, I really haven't read the Bible, but I did see Jesus of Nazareth. And well, for me, that was good enough in going to church. But now I will, because I see that I'm really interested in how you use the scripture to empower women. And I'd like to direct them to that. Is there a website that you have that can that has this information, or how we can get our listeners to get your book?
Well, the book is available. You can find it on my website or on the publisher's website at New Hope Publishers. I don't actually have the list of scriptures on my website, but there are a lot of esteeming scriptures in the book. So if they will access it there, they can even get the first chapter for a limited time for free if they subscribe to my newsletter. So they'll get a little bit of it from there, just, you know, as a taste to see if they like the book.
And also, I believe that you're a life coach and you're a counselor, correct?
Yes, I'm a licensed counselor and I practice life coaching online. So anybody that is looking for a Christian life coach, they can access that too on my website and contact me if they're interested.
What's the website?
Oh, could you tell us your website?
It's TinaJaeger.com. There's no W's at the front. It's just TinaJaeger.com, and that's Y-E-A-G-E-R.
Tina Jaeger, correct. T-I-N-A.
Correct.
And just for our listeners, is there any advice that you would like to give women that are starting out in the world that, you know, things may look stacked against them? Our youth, which will be our future, and they're so bright and they have so much going for them. Is there a piece of advice or a word of advice that you'd like to give them to help them on their journey of life?
I want them to know that you are precious. You are unique and vital in the kingdom of God. Whether you have experienced it yet or not, know that you are loved so much by the Lord that if you were the only one, he would have come and died just for you, to bring you into relationship with him. That's how much he loves you. He knows you are suffering, and his heart breaks for your suffering. He is there, but your pain is so strong, that's why you can't feel his presence. Because when we're in pain, even Christ said, Lord, why did you forsake me, when he was on the cross? Because his pain was so great, he could no longer feel God's presence. When we're in pain, that's all we feel. But God is there. Let me reassure you that he cares about you, and he can do more in your life than you can see right now. But there is somebody else on the other side of your suffering that's waiting for you to get through this. And if you can trust God, if you could just trust that one step, that first step, to ask him to be there for you, to help you make that first step. He will help you. He will bring people into your life to help you. Just pray and look for him to be there for you, because he loves you dearly, and he's got other people on the other side of this suffering place, because this is not all there is. There is hope at the end of this, and you can become that woman who reaches out like Amy to other people on the other side of that suffering place and lifts them up from the darkness. So your testimony will become something bigger than your moment of pain right now.
Wow, that is powerful.
Nobody could have said it better. And if people only knew how much difference it makes for someone to hear that. Not all of us have the right family members or the parents. We didn't grow up people telling us those things. So whoever out there that doesn't either, these are your words.
Nice. So life coaching, this is also something probably, how long has it been ongoing? Like for a decade? Maybe.
I don't know exactly how long life coaching has been around. Yeah, I started as a counselor, so right. I'm not really sure.
Right, because I was reading, what is life coach? Because it's kind of a lot of things, I guess, to guide you through life planning.
Yes, whereas counseling will look backward, and it's more focused on diagnosing mental health issues and helping people with treatment of those issues so they can move from the past or the present in a state of illness or a state of trauma to move forward. And that's a very valid place.
Yeah.
But life coaching is just about, where do I want to go? What am I doing that is a block in my life, or what is going on in my life that I can change so I can move forward and reach goals?
Right.
In my life.
Like a professional,
so it's more of a forward
friend.
Focus.
Really cool.
It's like giving, I guess, ideas, suggestions, according...
Therapeutic suggestions.
Individualistic, according to
yes.
that, what that person
yes.
would benefit from, I guess.
Like
yeah,
stress
like
management.
Action steps right. mm-hmm, to take in your life, to help you organize, to help you move forward, to help you change habits and behaviors and do things in a better way that's going to help you reach your goals.
That might be even a better idea than going to a counselor, or that could be like counselor to life coaching is counselor 2.0 or something.
Well, yeah, especially when Tina is a counselor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't have a diagnosis that you're working on, then you can go with life coaching. But if you have a mental health diagnosis,
you should see
then you probably want to go with counseling.
Well,
you may
I don't
need
know.
Medicine
Depends.
If that's the case, I think.
If you're like counselor and a life coach, maybe it's a better situation.
You're smarter, I guess. You're two people in one.
There you go. Okay. So he says life coaching is not mental health counseling. Oh, that's why.
It's a different kind of piece, because we're not doing diagnosis.
Isn't God like a life coach?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit can be a good life coach. But sometimes it helps to have a human being there helping you through it.
If you hear him, yeah, because he might be telling you something, but I don't know if you're hearing it.
I'm pretty sure the Bible gives you guidance.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
And by the way,
yes.
So does the Holy Spirit, whether we're aware of it or not.
It's definitely better to be a person actually presenting it to you in an understandable way.
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
You're right.
Yep, there's definitely a place for all of that. And
right.
I think God uses us to help one another.
And that's not like a substitution for medication either.
Absolutely no. not. You know, no, it's not a substitute for medication.
But it's a good way to go to someone to know that you're safe. That's safe, because I think sometimes people, when they have problems, they don't want to tell their friends or other people because they don't want to depress them. They don't want to be the bearer of bad news, or they don't want to carry on a negative conversation. They want to be only, you know, happy times, and it's actually helpful for the person suffering because they can ignore it for a while.
Yeah. And it gives you kind of an accountability person, too,
so
that you can make sure you're following through on those action steps that you need to be taking in your life.
And it's also somebody who's willing to listen, who's willing to go through that. You don't carry that guilt of burdening the person.
Yep.
Exactly.
Something smarter, like our business coach.
Well, you know,
all kinds of coaches.
I have to tell you, I'm very grateful for our business coach, because the business coach had us take a personality test. And at this time, I did not have such a great self-esteem, although I put up a good act. But
you
anyhow,
read Tina's book.
But anyhow, then I did this personality test, and I found out some really neat and interesting strengths that I had that I didn't know I had. For example, I did not know I was a problem solver. I stopped being codependent because of that. Now I'm solving everything on my own. So it opened up my eyes having the because the business coach had me take this personality coach, whereas a life coach can open somebody else's eyes that may not have known these things otherwise also.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good analogy.
Thank you. Well, Tina, it's been wonderful, and I'm so glad that you had such amazing information to share with us and such kind words, and I really appreciate your presence. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Amy.
I'm actually ending a little early today because I know that you're special, and so are our listeners. So I have something special for the third song today. Love it. Again, thank you, Tina, for your participation.
Thank you, Amy. You truly are a warrior. I'm so honored to be on your show.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. More information on Tina Yeager can be found on amycabo.com under guests. Please check it out and get her book, Beautiful Warrior. I'm your host, Amy Cabo. This has been The Cure. Thanks for listening. Please go to Amy Cabo for previous shows.
Was brought to you by IMIC Research, 786-310-7477 or www.godisthecure.com. Tune in every Friday at 2 p.m. for The Cure with Amy Cabo, right here on 880 The Biz.